This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set, cocked, locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. We're talking about tips that happen to be automotive tips relating to tires, tire valves, plugging tires, etc. with Kyle. Kyle in Montana. Kyle, any thoughts about what we talked about at the end of hour number one regarding tire plug kits and how to use them?
Yeah, exactly. I've carried those plug kits in every one of my cars and trucks, every one. And I used to have an old 87 Buick LeSabre with a 3.8 engine, which was one of the best engines General Motors ever made, in my opinion. But anyway, I had to use one of those tire plugs on it because we were actually at a reception for a wedding, and I come back out there and I had a flat tire. And so I always also carry the little 12 volt pumps. Now they take a long time to pump up, but it's sure better than blowing in a valve stem with your mouth. So, and it don't work when you try to blow that up, by the way, but anyway, so I took the tire off, plugged it, found the hole. It was a screw that had been put in there, pulled that out, put the plug in, did the whole, you know, rigmarole to get the plug in, and always carry tools with me. And so I cut it off right there at the edge of the tread and then put that little 12-volt pump on. And here's another tip for people. If you buy one of those 12-volt pumps, the little air pumps that people use to put on their, try to air up their tires, make sure that the pump that you buy has a long enough extension. Like a lot of times they will plug into like a cigarette lighter or something that looks like a cigarette lighter. And they make sure that wire that they give you will go to your back tire, because it's got to be able to come out to plug into the dash, go out the back, out the side of your car, and go all the way to the back tire. Now, I have found a few of them that literally only had like a little 6-foot cord on them, which is ridiculous. And so what I would do, and what I did for this car that I had, or this pump that I had in the LeSabre, is I would put a couple of the larger type clamps. They're metal, and they have a little screw on the end of them, and I would attach a set of wires to that, and then I would cut that little plug-in off that came with the pump to be able to plug it into a cigarette lighter. And I stripped those wires off, and I butt spliced them together, and then I either shrink wrapped them or taped them up real good. And then I put an extension that I could raise the hood of my car, and I extended the wire long enough to be able to go from wherever the battery to go, like if the battery's on the passenger side front, I would get a long enough wire to extend the wire that runs the pump after I attach those type of clips to the steel metal clips to them, the spring-loaded clips, to be able to reach the opposite side rear tire, because most of the time these little 12-volt pumps don't have a the little rubber hose that you're going to pump air into your car with longer than usually 2 or 3 feet at the most. The longest one I think I ever seen was maybe 3 feet, but most of the time they're only a couple of feet long. And so you want to make sure that you hook it up to positive and negative to negative. And, you hook them up with a little 12-volt pump and it'll run and then you'll be fine. Anyway, I ran that plug on that tire. I never did have another flat on that car, but I ran that plug so long, this sticks in my mind because it was so funny. In a sense that when the guy, I bought a set of tires and I was having a different set of tires put on. And, when he pulled that tire off, he said, "My goodness, this plug has wore down right with the tread right down to the wear bars on the tire." And I never did have another problem. I must have put at least 15,000 miles on that plug, in that tire before I got to the point of changing it.
Yeah, and they work. They absolutely work. So, Class, I went out into the shop during the commercial break that we just had, and we bought several of these tire plug kits. Now, we bought the professional version. And the ones that they sell at the Chinese factory outlet with the plastic handles, they are not what I'm talking about. I mean, they maybe can do the same job. They won't last very long, and they're dangerous, in my opinion, because the Chinese plastic handles are attached to a metal needle that you push through the tread of the tire to insert the plug. Those plastic handles are so flimsy, I think it's possible that you can push so hard that you'll push that needle right through the palm of your hand. I don't like that. So I don't use those. I use a metal handle. It's a solid metal handle. This kit comes in a black case. It's a hinged with a metal rod black case. It's not the cheesy plastic Chinese cases. Now, this is made in China, but this has a model number 365. That's all it says on it, made in China. But the handles are T-handles. They have replaceable needles and awls. And they're a professional quality. I weighed them. I put them on the scale coming into the studio. This kit weighs 3 pounds. It's a really heavy kit. It's probably 2 to 3 times heavier than any of the kits that you'd see available at the Chinese factory outlet. But it costs more. It costs about $35. But it is so good, you buy one and it'll last a lifetime. It comes with 50 plugs and rubber lubricant to push the plugs in. It's a top quality kit. And it comes with a little knife to cut off the end of the plug when you put the plug in the tire or tread. But what it doesn't come with, which you need, is a pair of needle nose pliers, because you have to thread this sticky rubber plug. It's about 3 inches long, maybe 3.5 inches long. You have to thread it through the needle. It doesn't want to go through the needle because it's sticky, and it needs to be sticky to stay in the tire. So you're going to need a pair of needle nose pliers to go with the kit. Okay, that being said, you can look up how to use these kits. You need to probably graphically and visually look at how to use one of these tire plug kits, but they absolutely work. Now, Kyle was talking about extending the power cord to his little 12-volt air pump, his air compressor. You can use an extension cord. You can use an old lamp cord if it's heavy enough, if the wire gauge is heavy enough. And you have to compare it to the cord that's already on there. Now, if it has what's called a zip cord, ZIP cord, that would be a cord that you'd see on a lamp, electrical cord on a lamp. If you look at the side of that electrical cord, you'll see that one edge is smooth. I'm talking about the insulated covering. Okay? One edge is smooth, the other has ribs in it. Little tiny imperceptible ribs. And the idea is that way you can tell which is what wire. So those ribs run the entire length of the wire. So what you want to do is match the ribbed side with the ribbed side. So when you extend the length of your cord, you do not want to mix it up, because DC controls, direct current will control which way that compressor motor turns, and you want to turn the correct way. So make sure you look at the, and look at your lamp cords. You'll see what I'm talking about. Any lamp cord, one edge has either one rib or multiple ribs on it. That is that would be a different wire from the one that is not ribbed. Okay? Make sure you keep the color code right. You could use wire nuts if you wanted to. You could use a compression butt splice if you want, heat shrink. You could do it any way you want. But make sure the wire is heavy enough. And I don't throw out banged up old extension cords. If they get dinged and the insulation's cut, I still save the wire because I can use that wire for other purposes. We don't throw anything out at the farm. And in that line of thinking, I wanted to mention that in our barn I have several battery chargers. And I bought copper-plated battery cable clamps. So those are the clamps that go on the wire that you attach. You clamp them onto the battery that you want to charge. And I lengthened the battery charge side cable to 50 feet long. So I have a charger hanging on the wall. There's a power cord that plugs into an AC outlet that's right below it, and then an orange 50-foot charging cable. And I just drag that along the barn floor from tractor to tractor to tractor, or car to car to car. And I keep the charger on pretty much all the time. I just move it from vehicle to vehicle, or tractor to tractor to tractor, lawnmower to lawnmower to lawnmower. And I'll leave it on for a day, and then I'll move to the next vehicle. So each piece of equipment might get a charge for one day every 2 weeks. And that's what I do. And I call the battery charger manufacturer, and I said, here's what I'm doing. Is this okay? What are your thoughts electrically? They said, it won't work. I said, huh, okay. And they, I was talking to an engineer. He said, no, that won't work. The cord's way too long. I said, okay. Well, it does work. And he recalculated. He goes, yeah, you're right. You're right. So it works. It absolutely works. And at a low current amount, meaning less than 6 amps of charge, it works perfectly well. The voltage drop is so little, it works just fine. So if you have a 12-volt battery that's 13.2 volts, and, you know, that's a full charge on a 12-volt battery, you need more than 13.2 volts to charge that battery because the current goes from the charger to the battery. So you have to have more voltage from the charger than the battery has. Otherwise, the current will go backwards from the battery to the charger. Right? So all you need is around 14.2, 14.5 volts, and it'll work perfectly. So you can use your voltometer to test how much voltage is coming out of your battery charger when it's hooked up. You hook up the red wire of your voltometer to the plus, the black wire to the minus, and before you do that, you make sure you have it set for a voltage that's higher than the battery. So you might want to set it to 20 or 50 volts, something like that. Don't set it lower. Set it higher. Kyle, your comments.
You know, you're right, Vince. What I do personally is I have run, and I've got a 100-foot extension cord that I keep hanging on the side of my chicken coop, actually. And I keep it there because I have outlets out there, and I have vehicles. One of my old plow trucks is parked in the back, and it's about probably 75 feet away. Well, I'll cover that on the other side of the break.
Yeah, and class, you know, in the wintertime, it's really, really important to keep your batteries charged, whether they're in your lawnmower that you own, you know, that has an electric start that you only use in the summertime. If you don't charge that, the battery will self-discharge, and it will freeze. The plates and the lead plates will buckle, and the battery will be destroyed.
Now, orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Class, if you want to see what it looks like looking out the studio window at Buttercup and her calves, send me an email. USAPrepares@outlook.com. USAPrepares@outlook.com. I'll be glad to send you an image. It might come into your basket saying that it's suspect. It'll just be a picture. Just be a picture of what I see looking out the window. Kyle, you were talking about battery chargers. Please continue.
Yeah, what I do, Vince, for me is I will take a voltmeter and put it on 110 volts, so you're checking AC voltage, and I get to the end of that, and when I hook up my battery chargers, I don't want less than 110 volts. And so if I run that 110 volt out there to that 100 feet, mine actually is around 117 volts at the end of that 100-foot extension cord, and so I know I'm fine running 117 volts when I plug that battery charger in.
Yeah, so class, what Kyle's talking about is a battery charger for an automotive-type battery, whether it be for your lawnmower. We're talking about a lead-acid battery, whether it be for your lawnmower, your pickup truck, or your automobile. It will take AC current from an outlet, wall outlet, let's say, and convert that to direct current. And it will step down with a transformer the current from, or the voltage from 117 volts to about 14 volts, 14.1 to 14.5. And what Kyle is saying is he wants to start with a minimum of 110 volts at the end of the extension cord. And the reason he's saying that is because as you add wire to the device, the end device, meaning the battery charger in this case, the wire has resistance in it. It resists the flow of electricity as well as conducts the flow of electricity. So you may start at the outlet that you plug the extension cord in. You may start out with 118 or 119 or 120 volts, but you may end up with 117 at the end of the extension cord. He doesn't want to power his battery charger with less than 110. Okay, and in the case of electric motors, and that would be a refrigerator compressor, a freezer compressor, a window air conditioner, the higher the voltage within limits, the easier it is for that motor to start. The lower the voltage, the harder it is for it to start. So you may want to check the voltage in your house to see what the voltage is at your outlets. In our case, we're running around 125, 126, 127 volts. So when you talk about AC outlets, sometimes they're called 110 volt. And some people say 110 volt outlet. Other people say 117. Other people say 120. Some people say 130. Well, the range is typically somewhere, and Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, at the high would be 130 and at the low would be 110. Is that right?
Yeah, most, you know, it's really interesting, Vince, in all the years that I've been an electrician, and checked voltages, I have never seen 110 volts at an outlet. I have about the lowest I think I've ever seen is one time in this old farmhouse that a guy had in, a little town, north of, the town I was living in at the time, he had 116 volts, and that's about the lowest. I think it might have been 115 in one outlet, and I think it was just because it was really old wiring in there. You know, it was probably coming in at the meter at 125 or something, you know, but when as wiring ages, of course, it develops more at every contact point. It develops more oxidation, and that oxidation equals resistance. And it also then, so it lowers your voltage. But most people don't realize that when voltage and amperage are inversely proportional, so it's like a teeter-totter. As your voltage goes up, the amperage goes down. So that's what makes it easier for the higher voltage to start your compressors on your refrigerators, freezers, air conditioners, that kind of thing. If your voltage is lower, then the amperage is higher and it creates more heat. So that's just something to bear in mind. That will wear on your compressors.
Yeah. So the compressor is like starting with a higher voltage, like 125. We'll be right back. I'll tell you some more about power
at home. Now, orders to stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We do have breaking news this hour. Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin just launched its fourth successful space tourism mission, taking six passengers that included a Blue Origin engineer and five paying customers aboard their New Shepard capsule at the company's West Texas facilities. launch vehicle, and crew all returned safely. As Russia continues to hurl bombs into Ukraine, President Zelensky addressed Australia's parliament this morning.
We can say that Russia destroyed our dream. No, they just burned down a plane, hardware, a shell, but not the essence, not the freedom, not the dignity, nor our independence.
USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
President Biden's proposed $5.8 trillion budget focuses far too much on climate change than other priorities, such as Ukraine or the border security. Senator Marsha Blackburn, the Republican from Tennessee on Newsmax, makes the claim.
Budgets are about priorities, and when you're spending $5.8 trillion and your focus is climate change, now think about this in regard to where we are right now with Russia and Ukraine. With China and the threat that we have from the Chinese Communist Party and the other two members of the ACLU with Russia and China, which is Iran and North Korea. And then you have people from 160 countries that came across this border last year, 1 million people that have already come across this border this year, this fiscal year, and you're saying, oh, well, we're not going to put money into securing the border. We're not going to put money into stopping people that we do not know who they are or where they're from coming into this country.
Action movie icon Bruce Willis was having cognitive issues on the set of his recent films and was unable to remember his lines before his family stepped in to take care of him. On Wednesday, Willis' family announced the star has been diagnosed with aphasia and will step away from his decades-long career. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Kyle's with us. And we've been talking about electricity. So, class, here's an interesting, it's a fact. So, let's say you live on a road, and you have neighbors. And you live where the power comes into your road. So, the feed comes into your road, and you're the first house on that road. You will have a greater voltage at your receptacles than the neighbors who are farther down the road. That's an absolute fact. And so what the power companies try to do is they try to make sure that the last guy has enough, you know, so that they get to maybe 112, 114 volts. They probably want to be around 114 volts minimum. Okay. When the when that power line that's running down the road is fully loaded with air conditionings and air conditioners and so forth, you know, in the hot, hot days or the heat pumps on the cold, cold days. So the voltage that you have in your house is probably different from your neighbors. And the guys who live closest to the feed of that those power lines have higher voltage than the guys who are farther away from the feed. Kyle, any comments?
That's true, Vince. Yep. And I wanted to jump back just a second, folks. I forgot to mention something. When I extend the length of the wires running to that little air compressor that I carry in my car, the one that is the positive, I take red electrical tape and I wear the connection for the wire ties onto this little nut where I put that in there. I will tape over that with red electrical tape just so that people that don't know, people equate that red with positive, you know, on your battery. And so that's what I do. The ribbed section of wire that Vince is talking about is the negative. And so that's what you want to, that's how you want to, you don't, most people don't even know that that ribbed section of that little wire exists. But anyway.
That's right. So the ribbed edge, and it may have five ribs, four ribs, three ribs, or just a single rib. The other side of the insulation, the jacket, if you will, of a lamp cord is not ribbed. The non-ribbed side would, to me, is the plus, as Kyle said, and the ribbed side is the minus. Okay, and the way that works is if you look at your outlet, you'll see that, and typically, if it's newer than 1962 or so, it'll have three prongs, a round one at the bottom, typically at the bottom, and two slotted holes. And the slotted holes are for the current that powers your lamp, for example. They would just be a two-prong lamp cord. If you have a three-pronged plug, that would be a grounded one. The round connection is for the ground. And if you look at those slotted holes, one of them's a little taller than the other, a little larger, a little longer than the other. The longer one is for the neutral, and the smaller one is for the hot wire. And if you relate that to the color code on the receptacle, The smaller prong would be of your plug goes to the black wire, which is the hot wire. The larger plug prong goes to the white wire. So what Kyle does and what I do is we say, well, the hot wire in AC wiring is like the plus in DC wiring. That's how we do it. Is that right, Kyle?
Yep. That's exactly right. And when you're using battery cables, they'll be either black and white, or I've got a set that is red and black. And the positive red one, usually, well, I go to the positive side of the battery. And so anyway, I make it red so that people that are not very mechanically aware we'll see, you know, there's usually a red cap over the top of your positive on the battery of your car. And if there is, which is most of the time, then the red tape goes on the red side of your battery. And that way helps people keep them, you know, oriented correctly.
Yes, red goes to positive and black goes to negative. That's the way, that's the easy way to remember it. Kyle, you and I talked probably about a year ago about oil filters, and I mentioned that I cut one open. And I was looking at this oil filter. It's made in China. It has a brand name STP, Andy Granatelli's company, STP. So the AutoZone licensed the name STP, and they put it on their house brand of oil filters. And I cut one open, and I thought, I don't think I like the filter medium, because I think it won't flow as much oil as it needs to flow. So think of it like this, class. The oil filter, and same with air filters, the air in the oil that travels through the paper medium or media, the particles plug the holes that the air used to be able to go through. And eventually the air filter will get plugged up. Eventually the oil filter will get plugged up. And what I noticed was that the filter media was so fine that I didn't think it could flow enough air, and that small particles would plug the filter up very, very quickly, whether it be air or oil filter. And what I noticed was that vehicles would come into the shop and oil would be all over the engines. The oil would be dirty. You know, I'd look at the, pull out the dipstick and look at the oil, and I'd notice that the oil would be dirty and there's oil all over the engine. How, where is it coming from? And I determined that it was coming from the gasket that seals the oil filter, the spin-on oil filter, to the oil filter mounting plate on the engine. So why is that happening? Well, it's happening because there's excessive back pressure in the oil filter. And why is that? Because the oil filter is plugged up. And why is that? Because the media is too fine. It doesn't let the oil flow through as easily as it should. And it's trapping very, very minute particles that are so small that it doesn't need to trap them. So the oil filters were becoming plugged up at 3,000 miles, and oil back pressure was spraying all over the engines. So what's the solution? Well, STP, the regular filter, and I've got a box right in front of me. I'm going to read what it says. It says, engineered to last up to 5,000 miles. Let me read that one more time and listen to every single word. Engineered to last up to 5,000 miles. That does not mean it will last up to 5,000 miles. That means it's engineered to. That doesn't mean it's constructed to last 5,000 miles. That means it's engineered to. And what happens is they don't. They don't last 5,000 miles. They last up to 5,000 miles. Now, up to 5,000 miles could be 1 mile, 2 miles, 100 miles, 1,000 miles, 4,999 miles, or even 5,000 miles. Some number, 5,000 miles or less. And it's absolutely correct. It lasts up to 5,000 miles. But it doesn't last 5,000 miles. It lasts up to 5,000 miles. So what we see on some vehicles, that the back pressure from the media or medium in this oil filter causes them to blow oil all over the engine. So what's the answer? Well, they've got another filter with a yellowish gold colored box, and it says, quote, engineered to last up to 10,000 miles. Now, if you look at the boxes, they, one of them is, I've got one in my hand, it's an S for STP, 3675. S3675 is the model number of the STP oil filter I'm talking about. I have another box right next to it, and that one is S3675XL, as in extended life. But the extended life filter is bigger. It's longer. It has more filter media in it, and it will last longer. What I'm saying is that if you have an oil spray on your engine, it could be your oil filters plugged up. Now, I'm not saying it's only the STP oil filters. I don't know. But this is a new phenomenon that I have seen firsthand with oil filters that say, and if you look really, really carefully, you may see the words C, I'll spell it for you, C-H-I-N-A. That's what it says, C-H-I-N-A on the box. So, if you have a problem with your oil filter and it's leaking oil on your engine, you're probably going to need to either switch to an extended life oil filter or find a different brand. Kyle, any comments? I'm not kidding. This is serious.
Oh, I know it is. Yeah, I will tell you something else, Vince. If you are not checking your oil and you're running, say, my car didn't burn any oil, and you just go 5,000 miles before you even take it in to have it done, you're crazy, in my opinion. Because I've done this before, because I had a little Toyota with a car, Camry, that had a 2.2 in it. And I would, I put the 5,000 mile oil filters on there. Right. And so I would check it and, oh, the oil would just be crystal clear. I mean, just like the lightest amber color, just like it was brand spanking new. From 1,000, and it wouldn't use any oil. Then 2,000, it wouldn't use any oil, look the same. 3,000, and it would look the same. By the time I've got to 4,000, it was starting to turn brown, darker brown, which verifies exactly what Vince is saying, and then I would change the oil before that. As soon as it started turning the light, the darker brown, that's telling you that there's medium, there's carbon, there's corrosives that is circulating through your engine. And I'll tell you something else, Vince. When I changed the fuel pump in my in the gas tank in that same Camry, so folks, there's a little fuel pump inside of there that pumps fuel to your engine, and it's turned on when you turn your key on, goes through a relay, and runs the fuel pump. Well, for many, 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 many years since they've been doing this, there's a little filter that sits on the bottom of that fuel pump that sits on the bottom of your gas tank. And so, or very close to the bottom of your gas tank. And this little filter keeps debris from of any kind, pretty much, from getting into your pump and burning it up. Well, when I went to buy the new fuel pump, and they call it a sock, this little filter down there. I'll finish this after the break. I hear the
music. Yeah. Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about fuel pumps. And in class, real simply, don't let your fuel get below a quarter of a tank, no matter what, because it puts excessive strain on the fuel pump and the relays, and you can burn up your fuel pump much faster. Don't go below a half.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kyle's with us, and we're talking about fuel tanks, fuel in the tanks, and the sock filter. It's called a sock. It's the filter that is at the lowest point of your fuel tank to pick up the fuel from the bottom of your tank to go into the in-tank fuel pump. Kyle, back to you.
Yeah. So when I bought the I took the old pump out, and the sock was a kind of a nylon mesh. And it was real fine nylon mesh, and it was in great shape. I mean, it looked just fine. But when I took out the new one, also coming from China, I looked at it, and it was a fabric. And it had a kind of a white fiberglass-looking inside and a blue outside fabric cover. Well, I'm thinking to myself, this is ridiculous. This thing is so fine that it's going to pick up anything, cause a drain on the pump, and either burn my pump or my relay out. It's going to cause the more that the pump is under strain, because it has to pump harder, the more amperage it draws, which means more amperage through the relay, which means my fuel pump is going to burn out sooner. And it's the same kind of a thought process that they're using on these oil filters, in my opinion. I agree completely with you, Vince. So, folks, you might want to really rethink that if you ever have to have a fuel pump replaced and the sock that you have in the tank that is a nylon mesh is in good shape. I would reuse it. I did. I cleaned mine off and checked it, and there was no cracks in the little nylon mesh at all, and I reused it, and it worked perfectly.
Yeah, and we do the same thing. We find that the original equipment designs are typically better than the replacement designs. So let me put an exclamation point on what you just said, Kyle. So, class, you all know that you have a heating and cooling system in your car, right? And you turn on the switch, whether it be a lever or a dial, you turn that, and air comes out because there's a blower motor that blows air through the vents. Well, here's what's happening in the Chevrolet pickup trucks. We're seeing this more commonly. So it's a switch module for the climate control system, and it just controls the fan's output, the blower motor. Okay? What happens is the bearings become dry, and the blower motor doesn't want to spin as freely as it used to when it was brand new. So exactly the same thing Kyle's talking about. The resistance of the bearings, between the bearings and the motor shaft, that's connected to the blower cage or the blower wheel is so great that it causes extra current to be drawn through the switch module, and it burns up the switch module. Because so what happens is the mechanics typically say, oh, yeah, you got a burned out blower motor switch module or a climate control fan module. So they replace it. And the current still is overdrawn by the bearings being dry, not lubricated properly, on the blower motor. So the next one burns out, and so does the next one, and the next one. So it won't be solved until you replace the blower motor or lubricate the bearings on the blower motor. So the symptom is the switch blows, and the cause is the bearings on the blower motor. Exactly the same concept as what Kyle's talking about. If the fuel pump cannot pick up, if the fuel filter's plugged up on the input, on the intake side of the fuel pump's going to work harder, and it's going to blow the or burn up the relay. Kyle, there's one other thing I want to mention, and that is I bought a power center, that's what they call it, sometimes called a computer switch. And this would sit under a monitor, you know, the old-fashioned CRT monitors. Six switches, a main or a master switch with five other device switches, like computer, monitor, printer, auxiliary one, auxiliary two. So I got this thing and it felt light. It felt a little lighter than the other ones that we have in the house. So I opened it up. And what I found out, it's rated at 15 amps. It's not UL certified. And the wiring inside is, I measured it with a dial caliper. I said, gosh, this is thin, 40 thousandths of an inch thick. I converted that to American wire gauge, and that's 18-gauge wire. 18-gauge wire is not suitable for a 15-amp load. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've seen that same kind of thing, Vince, when you tear into washers, dishwashers, the manufacturers somehow are able to get around the National Electrical Code. They have their own code, and they get away with putting this stuff in there. And you're right. It's junk and it's wrong. And it's planned obsolescence. It's planned to be able to burn up sooner. So you buy another one.
Yeah, class. And, you know, I'm at the point in my life where I hardly believe anything. You know, I literally. And I don't trust manufacturers. I don't trust engineers. I don't trust accountants. I don't trust media. I don't trust the government. I only trust a very few people. And if you want to know who they are, they're my family and instructors at USA Prepares. And those are the people I trust. Everyone else, I'm not so sure about. Kyle, any quick comments in the last 10 seconds?
Amen. You better get ready, folks. We're fixing to be invaded as soon as Title 42 goes away.
Here we are. Class, thank you very much for being with us. Kyle, thank you. As always, see you in a couple weeks.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.